Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness and we thank you for your grace. And Father, as we continue to go through the book of Hebrews, would you continue to speak to us? There are many things you want to say to us this morning, many important things. And so, Lord, I'm asking you this morning for myself that you would speak through me, that I would simply teach the Bible simply by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for this book, and thank you for what we've learned so far. And as we continue to learn these things, would your Holy Spirit apply them to our life and help us to walk this Christian faith out in this world? Again, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. And again, Lord, I'd be remiss for those who I know who are sick, who are going through some things right now, who can't come on a Sunday morning. I ask that you would touch them, Lord. I ask that you would heal them. I ask that you would encourage them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, those who were Jews and converted to Christianity. They gave their life to Christ, they surrendered their life to Christ, and now they are a Christian. And in this case, they're the Hebrews. They're Hebrew Christians in a sense. And so we've been going through this book now, learning a lot of different things. And the author of Hebrews is trying to make the case that Jesus is what, guys?
Better.
Thank you. He's better. And now, when we start chapter 3, from chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse about 11 or so, he's going to make the case that Jesus is better than Moses. Have you guys ever heard of Moses? Moses, you ever see the Ten Commandments movie, Charlton Heston? Raises his staff, okay? I know some of you guys who are younger probably have no clue who I'm talking about. But Moses. Now, Moses, he was one of, the Jews held Moses up high. Why? Because through Moses, what came? The law. He was the one that God delivered up as a deliverer to lead the people out of Egypt when they're under bondage. So Moses was an important character, important person in the Jewish faith, like Abraham was as well. But the author of Hebrews is going to make this case that, look, Moses is great and everything. That's wonderful. But here's the thing. Jesus is better. And there's a reason for that. All right? So let's start reading the first few verses of chapter 3, and then we'll unpack this. And so he says, therefore, you ask, what is it therefore? In light of everything I've just said in chapter 2, holy brethren, partakers, that is those who are sharing of the heavenly calling. Now that word for calling means invitation. Have you guys had that invitation? Taken that invitation of the Lord to salvation? Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now let's look at this a second. Consider, that word for consider means to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes upon. Consider the apostle. Now, when we think of the apostles, we think of the 12 followers of Jesus, right? That's what we think of, right? The apostles. But notice he says the apostle. See, that word for apostle simply means one sent forth with orders. It means a messenger. And in a sense, Jesus came from heaven, right? God the Father sent Jesus. He sent Jesus as a messenger. He sent Jesus with orders. The orders were what? Well, the orders were to live the perfect sinless life, to fulfill the law and the prophets, and then eventually, as we talked about communion, to die on the cross for our sins. Okay? Then he says, consider the apostle and high priest, that is, chief priest or high priest of our confession or profession, Christ Jesus. Now, let me read something to you about this. Our confession, Jesus is the ambassador and the mediator of our confession. Christianity is a confession made with both the mouth and with the life. See, that's important. We miss this sometimes. See, anybody can tell you they're a Christian, but does their life back up what they've said? See, that's the trouble we get ourselves into. The word confession means to say the same thing. Did you know that? The word confession in the Greek means to say the same thing. So in 1 John chapter 1, it says if we confess our mouth, confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, what you're basically doing is when you confess to God, you're already agreeing with what God already knows. You're owning up to your sin to God. See, God sees it all. He knows. And so the word confession means to say the same thing. When we confess our sin, we say the same about it that God does in regard to salvation. All Christians say the same thing about their need for salvation and God's provision in Jesus. See, that's our confession as Christians, that we have this apostle, this high priest Jesus, and salvation is only found in him. You with me so far?
Amen.
Now, as apostle, he was sent by the Father to reveal the Father to men. So remember in the Gospel of John, when Philip, one of the disciples, said, "Show us the Father," to Jesus, and Jesus goes, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." See, you want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. You want to know how God is? Look at Jesus. Jesus came in human flesh to represent the Father. And see, then as the high priest, he represents men to the Father. See, in the Old Testament, you would have to go to the high priest, the sacrificial system part of Israel. You have to go to the high priest and bring your sacrifice. See, Jesus is our high priest and he's our sacrifice. That's why he's better. That's why he's better. Now, he keeps going here. He says, who was faithful to him. See, Jesus was faithful to God. So if Jesus was faithful to God, guess what? He's going to be faithful to us. Who was faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Now, I'm going to read through to verse 6, and then we'll unpack it, okay? So verse 3, for this one, that's Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Verse 6, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Okay, look, when I was studying this week, I realized that we get in a section of Scripture that can be challenging. And one of the reasons it's challenging is because we don't know our Old Testaments. We don't know them. Now, contrary to what some pastors say, the Bible is Genesis to Revelation. We need the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need both, okay? There are literally pastors today who say, you don't need the Old Testament anymore. Forget it. Unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Okay? That's not true. We need both. Because see, if you have the Old Testament, it points to the New Testament, points to Christ. If you have the New Testament, it points back to the fact that now we have Christ and we no longer have to worry about the sacrificial system. We need both. See, the best commentary in the Bible is what? The Bible. The best commentary on the New Testament is the Old Testament. The best commentary in the Old Testament is, guess what? The New Testament. See how it works? It's almost like the author wrote it so it'd be one book. Interesting. Anyway, just a thought. So listen, I'm going to do my best to keep this as simple as possible, okay? All right, and if we turn different places, if you don't know where it is or you get lost, it's okay, just listen, all right? But look, I'm gonna give you a spoiler alert. Ready? I'm gonna summarize what we're about to cover this morning. Are you ready? Here it is. Ready? The contrast between Moses and Jesus is clear. Listen, Moses was a servant in the house, while Jesus Christ is a son over the house. Moses was a member of the household, but Jesus built the house. The house is a group of people. Guess who he's talking about? It's the nation of Israel. See, Moses was a member of the nation of Israel, right? He still led them, but he wasn't over the house. Jesus is over the house. Why? Because we learn in chapter 1 of Hebrews that who is Jesus? Jesus is God in human flesh. See, God, we throw the term God around, right, don't we? God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But all three of them are three distinct persons, but guess what? They're still one God. And so God's plan of salvation was to send his son Jesus down to earth to be a representative, to literally be God in human flesh to the people. So they saw, so when you know how to know how God is, you look at Jesus. What is God like? Look at Jesus. Well, how is Jesus? Jesus was loving. He's compassionate, right? He was obedient, right? He was merciful. He told the truth, right? So that's the idea here. So who was faithful, verse 2, to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. And here's the thing to keep in mind. This word house is used 7 times in these verses 2 through 6. It refers to the people of God, not to a material building. Moses ministered to Israel, the people of God, under the old covenant. Today, Christ ministers to his church. The people of God are under the new covenant. By the way, is the church a building or people? It's people. See, we get caught up in this notion that church is a building. See, I'll be honest with you. Because we meet in the senior center here, people don't think it's a real church. They don't. But they miss the point. Church is the assembly of believers together. You guys are the church. We're the church together. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. We are the church together. Church is people. That's why Jesus said, where two or more gathered in my name, I will be there. Because church is the people. It's not a building. You can have this wonderful, grandiose building, but that doesn't make it a church. The people make it a church. Because guess who's living inside of you right now? Literally, God is, if you've put your faith in Christ. Now, he goes on, verse 3, for this one, that is Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. So in other words, what he's getting at is here, look, because Jesus is God, because Jesus is the creator, he deserves more glory than Moses. Moses is just a man. He's just a member of this house, so to speak. But Jesus created the house. That's what makes him better. So here, understand something in the context of this book. Remember, these Jewish Christians had converted from Judaism, following the law to following Jesus, and they're starting to go back to their old life because, well, they're getting pressure to go back. And they're getting confused. And the author of Hebrews wrote this book to encourage them, listen, stay following Jesus. Don't go back. Keep moving forward with Jesus. And that's the key. And so, verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. I have written in my Bible, Jesus is God. So Jesus built the house. So of course he's going to get more glory than Moses. Now, I want to read something to you. The ancient rabbis consider Moses to be the greatest man ever, greater than the angels. The writer to the Hebrews does nothing to criticize Moses, but he looks at Moses in his proper relation to Jesus. See, Jesus is better. He's better than Moses. He's better. So verse 4 again, for every house is built by someone, but he who has built all things is God. And he says in verse 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. And by the way, that word for servant is, normally when we read that word servant in the New Testament, it's the idea of a slave or a servant. This word is different. This word is theropon in the Greek, and it means a voluntary servant who acts because of affection. So as Moses indeed was a faithful in all his house as a servant. See, God gave Moses a plan, he gave him purpose in his life. Remember, if you read the book of Exodus, the Old Testament, the second book of the Bible, Moses is raised up to be a deliverer for his people, the Jews, out of the nation of Egypt, right? Because they're under oppression. And so God gave him a purpose for his life, just like God has given us a purpose for our life. Now, let me say this. Keep it simple here. As human beings, we were created to what? We were created to worship God. We were created to fellowship with God, okay? Those are the two things. Real simple. Every single one of us here, there's two things that we were created to do. One, worship God and fellowship with him. Now, with that said, then what makes it even cooler is God will give us something to do with our life. He'll give us something to do. He'll give us something to do. How do you know what that is? Well, you got to be in a relationship with God. You got to ask him. He'll show you what to do. Like, you know, when I was 10 years old, I had no idea I was going to be a pastor. No idea. Well, now I'm 48. Okay. Well, God gave me something to do. But he did it. He did it. Honestly, he did it. I have no formal training in ministry. None. Some of you may not come back after that. But I say that to say this. God put me here. It wasn't anything I did. It's what he wanted to do with my life. What does God want to do with your life? Yes, fellowship with him, worship him. But what does God want to do with your life? You know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given every single one of us at least one gift. Are you using it? Listen, I get it. Like, and you're like, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, then step out and start serving in some capacity. You'll find out. How I found out that I could teach was I actually taught. I taught little kids. You want to be stretched in teaching? Teach little kids. Because little kids will ask you questions you have no idea. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? I got that question one time at Sunday school. or other things. And see, what it teaches you to do is to take complicated subjects sometimes and make them real simple. Here's the thing. If you can teach a kid, you can teach anybody. That's why I try to teach so simply to you guys. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying so you understand. I'm not going to stand up here and read a theological paper to you and totally confuse you. Because I've been there. I've been in church where pastors have stood up and literally it's like they're reading a theological treatise to you and you're like, oh my goodness. My eyes are glazed over. I've also been in churches where the pastor's screaming and hollering and isn't even saying anything correct. He's just excited. There's got to be a balance. Verse 5 again. And Moses indeed was a faithful servant in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. All right. We're going to turn a couple places. So put your finger here in Hebrews chapter 3. And like I said, if you can't keep up, it's fine. First place I want us to turn is Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Go to Genesis, the first book. Go to the right Exodus. Go to chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I want to talk about this. Talk about Moses. We're going to hit one verse. Exodus 14. My pages are stuck. Verse 31. Exodus 14, verse 31. Says this, thus Israel, that is the nation of Israel, saw the great work, listen to what it says, which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Wouldn't you love to be described as God's servant? I know I would. Another place to turn, guys. Turn to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 12. So right-hand turn, a couple of books over, Numbers 12. By the way, if you want your life to count, read the book of Numbers. That's all I got. Sorry, guys. It was simple. You ready? It was a simple joke. All right. Okay, Numbers chapter 12, verse 7 says this. Not so with my servant Moses. Listen to what it says. He is faithful in all my house. That literally speaks to what we just talked about in Hebrews. That Moses was faithful in the house of God, in a sense. He was faithful in the nation of Israel. Now, two more places we're going to turn. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 46. Jesus is speaking. In my Bible, it's in red letters. When you see red letters in a Bible, it means that it's Jesus' little words. Bless you. In John chapter 5, verse 46, he says this, for if you believed Moses, listen to what he says, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. Now, keep that verse in the back of your mind. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And then one more place in the New Testament. Turn to Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we're going to be in verse 27. Luke 24, the context is Jesus has been resurrected. And these two disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus shows up. And for whatever reason, Jesus does not allow them to see that it's him. So Luke 24, verse 27, it says this, at the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. In other words, what he's saying is this, the Old Testament is all pointing to me. When it says the book of Moses, it means the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah, as the Jews would call it, the Torah. That book testifies of Jesus, the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, so we read in John 5, right? If you have believed Moses, you would have believed me because he testified of me. One more place. Turn back to Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. Moses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Deuteronomy. And listen to what he says in chapter 18. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18. Let's hit verse 15. 18:15. Says this. The Lord your God, Listen to what it says very carefully here. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, that is like Moses, and from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. You know who he's talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said to those in John's gospel, he said, if you believe Moses, you would believe me because he testified of me. See, Moses in Deuteronomy was pointing to the fact that Jesus was coming. Now, go down to, we're still in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. Go down to verse 18. It says this, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Remember, when you read through the Gospels, one of the things that blows me away is when Jesus speaks, the people hear him and go, no one's ever spoke with this authority before. Guess who gave him that authority? God the Father did. And he goes on, verse 19, he says, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. In other words, repent of your sins. And if you don't repent, guess what? Guess where you're headed. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 3. Now, look, I do these cross-references, guys, because, like I said, the best commentary in the Bible is the Bible. And hopefully as you read these or listen to these, it points out the fact that this is one book. This is one book, and it's about one person, Jesus Christ. And that is the point of what the author of Hebrews is trying to make to these Jews who are willing to go back to Judaism. Listen, don't go back to Judaism. Keep walking with Jesus. He is the fulfillment of these things. Now, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his house. Remember, in a household, think of it like this. If you have a family in a household, okay, and just bear with me with this example. You have a household and you have servants in the household. Who's more important in the household, the servant or the son? The son. Like if you're wealthy enough to have a butler, okay? If you're wealthy enough to have a butler, as of the father of the house, who's going to be more important to me, the butler or my son? My son. That's why Jesus is better than Moses. But Christ, verse 6, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and in the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So let's unpack this, if we hold fast. Hold fast there means to keep secure, to keep firm possession of. So it means to hold fast, to keep secure, to keep firm possession of. So if you hold on to this faith, okay, it says, if you hold fast the confidence, that word for confidence is to free and fearless confidence. It's a cheerful courage. It's an assurance, all right? Let me read something to you. Those who profess faith in Jesus are his creation. If their confidence is strong enough to boldly maintain their hope in Jesus' future restoration of mankind's lost glory and honor. In other words, we are his house if we hold on to the confidence of the hope of the gospel. Look, I just proclaimed the gospel to you guys today through the communion, didn't I? See, in other words, if we are his house, if we hold on to the confidence of the hope of the gospel. Guys, we should walk in confidence. The gospel is real. The gospel has changed your life and changed anybody's life, anybody who's willing to surrender to Christ. The gospel is real. We should have, I'm getting excited, sorry. Whew. We should be confident. We should walk in confidence. Let me ask you something. Does it make a difference when you walk in confidence? It does. See, too many times, guys, we walk in apprehension about things. Why? We shouldn't, because we have Jesus. Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. We should have confidence. Listen, it doesn't matter if you share with somebody and they get mad at you. I've had that happen. I've had people call me names. But I walk away rejoicing. Why? Because I've done what God's asked me to do. It doesn't mean that every time I share my faith with somebody, somebody's going to be instantly converted at that moment. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But I keep sharing. Why? Because I can't help but tell people what Christ has done for me. I can't help but tell people the peace I have, I've never had before except for Jesus. The hope I have, I never had before Jesus. So how can I not tell people about that? See, you tell people this in this world. Look, this world's nuts. It's nuts. We don't even know what a boy is or a girl is and all that kind of stuff. Okay? The basics in life. We do, but they don't. Okay, listen, I've told you this before. That's why you come to church, because you realize there's other people who are crazy as you are. Right? Okay? But my point is, the reason I tell people, the reason you should tell people about Jesus is because he's changed your life, because he's real. And you have a confidence that the gospel that saved you can save literally anyone. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of background you had. I don't care what you've done in your life. If you ask God to forgive you and you mean it, he'll forgive you. He will forgive you. That's the amazing thing about our faith. That's what makes it different than anything else. Our faith is not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. You understand that? It's a relationship with the living God. So again, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Let me read something to you about this, okay? Hold the hope firm to the end. See, Jesus said, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Jesus is going to be with you, even to the end of the age. See, true commitment, listen, and we need to hear this, okay? All of us need to hear this. I need to hear this too. Because this is why we're seeing people in the church. When I say church, not our church necessarily, but in the church in a whole in the United States, compromise. Why are you seeing people compromise? Listen, it says true commitment to Jesus, listen, is demonstrated over the long term, not just in initial burst. We trust that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He just said, right? He just said, rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. See, that's our problem. We live in a culture that everything needs to be right now, instant. Right now. Everything. That's why you have fast food. Why do you have fast food? Because you get it faster. Of course. But when we had kids, we had sons, it wasn't like my son was born and all of a sudden he could drive a car or he could walk even. Or you could eat solid food, it took time. And see, what we miss oftentimes is things that are important, things that last, take time. They take time. Listen, you may be recently a Christian. You may have come to Christ for the first time, and you're like, okay, I don't know what I just did, but I'm trying to figure this all out. That's the point. That's why you need your brother and sister to come alongside you and walk with you. That's why you need to be in prayer and in the Word, because everybody grows. Everybody's growing. I'm never going to stop growing until Christ comes back. And see, that's why all of us should show grace to one another, right? You know, it wasn't like when my sons were starting to walk. What's wrong with you when he would stumble and couldn't walk? I wouldn't do that. As a gracious father, I'd pick him up and say, okay, buddy, you're doing a great job. You can keep going. So it's like Jesus says that to us. We stumble sometimes, you know, right? We stumble. He says, okay, buddy, get up. Come on, let's go. You can do this. I'll help you. That's how it's supposed to work. That should give us encouragement. See, God is building a house, and it's full of believers. He's building a house. Now, one more place I want us to turn, and this is the last place we're going to end the service. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, with this idea of a house, okay? So listen, again, I'll read verse 6 of Hebrews. Listen, it says, but Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope from the end. So 1 Peter 2 will be in verse 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. Listen to what Peter says. And again, you'll read this, you'll go, wow, it's almost like the same author wrote this. Yeah, he did. Okay, cool. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, coming to him, who's him? Jesus. As to living stone, rejected indeed by men, but listen, chosen by God and precious. You also, that's all of us as believers, you also as living stones are being built up, what does it say? A spiritual house. A spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. See, we are being built up as a spiritual house. If you've put your faith in Christ this morning, you are born again by the Spirit of God. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the house of God, in a sense. The house of God isn't a place. It's the people. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. So, you know, when you rub people, you know, in the highways and byways of life, and they ask you, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to Calvary Pottstown. Oh, yeah, where do you guys meet? We meet in a senior center. Oh, is that really a church? Yeah, it's a church. People show up every week, so it's a church.
Because it's the people. It's not a building. Don't ever lose that. See, one thing we have to understand is you have to get this notion of the American version of church. Because the American version of church oftentimes is wrong. It's not always wrong, but a lot of times it is wrong. Because it emphasizes and focuses on the wrong things. Focus on the wrong things. Look, praise God that we actually have a place we can meet every Sunday. That we can meet if it snows or it rains or if it's whatever windy, that we can come together. If it's cold, we can come together in an actual place. Praise God for that. But all more, what's better is praising God because we all can meet together as people. Like, I'm encouraged that you show up every week. I'm encouraged. I love nothing more to just, you know how when we transition from the music and we're setting up here and waiting to start and everything? Sometimes I just want to, I stand back and I just listen and I love it. I love watching you guys make connections as people. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's the house of God. The house of God isn't a place. It's the people. Understand? We're going to stop here this morning. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. And then we will sing one more song to close the service. But I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Listen, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, you have not asked Christ to forgive you of our sins, may today be the day. May through this message from his word encourage you. It's real simple. You just have to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. It's that simple. And I promise you, if you do that, your life will never be the same. You're in for an adventure. It's better than Great Adventure. It's better than Dorney Park. It's better than Hershey Park. It tastes much better than the chocolate at Hershey Park. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning. We come before you as a body. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement from your scripture. And Lord, as I just said, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, who does not know you, I pray that simply, Lord, they would do this. Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. And Jesus Christ, I know that you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sins and will you be the Lord of my life from this day forward? And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has done that, that they either tell me or somebody else what they have done so they could be encouraged. For the rest of us, Lord, who know you, Lord, it's wonderful that you're better than Moses. No offense, Moses, but thank you, Lord. Thank you that you provide a better covenant, a better relationship, a better way. Lord, I also pray for anyone here this morning who is a believer and they're ready to go back to their old life. They're ready to go back. Lord, would this scripture be a reminder to them this morning that Jesus, you are better. That Jesus, you are better. Lord, you love us. And you want a fellowship with us. Help us not to forget that. Father, you are a loving Father. Lord, as I'm praying here, I'm just thinking of the imagery, Lord, in my mind of when my boys were learning to walk, Lord. And how is their father, Lord, when they would stumble, I would come over and pick them up and tell them I love them and say, hey, you can keep going, I'll help you. Father, that's what you're saying to us this morning. Would you truly speak to the people who are struggling this morning? Would you help them to realize that you are a loving Father, that you are gracious? Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.